Another reason you might create a separate structure, I've got an organization that operates both a homeless shelter that is a night organization, and it operates a central resource facility that is a daytime organization. Two separate activities could both be in the same organization, and they started out separate because they ultimately were controlled by separate parties, but it also gives them the opportunity to fundraise to different groups or to go to the state and seek money for this activity and this activity without being the same organization. So there's any number of reasons that you might create this. And as you're creating it, you want to think about these types of issues. If you don't know the things to think about, then you can very easily end up in the wrong structure. My daughter is 14. She's my middle child, and she has an affinity for iPhones. She also has an affinity for breaking iPhones. We've had her jump in the swimming pool with an iPhone. We've had her crush an iPhone. We've had her drop an iPhone from a second-story balcony at a party to see if it would bounce, which makes us question whether she really loves iPhones at all. But so she's always trying to raise money because of this, because she has to go, I need money. I need to go buy a new phone. And she comes up with these ideas. A couple of years ago, she was selling slime. Those of you with kids that are, 10 to 17 now know what I'm talking about. You make it with household materials, and other kids would want to play with it. And so little entrepreneurs like her would say, well, I'm going to sell it. She had that business, and then she's currently got a business where she's painting, which is better than making slime. She's a good artist, and so she's painting pictures and selling them to friends. The problem in both of those situations is she didn't think through all the issues. And the issue she didn't think through was what I call cost of goods sold. And so I said, where are you going to get the money to buy the materials for these things? And she said, well, you'll buy them for me. So hopefully we'll avoid that, and we'll talk about these issues. The most critical issue, first and foremost, is what's going to be the purpose of the new entity? Why are we forming it, and what is the purpose going to be? So if the purpose is going to be something that can be exempt, standing alone, maybe it was related to our activity and our parent organization, because it contributed importantly to the accomplishment of the parents' exempt purposes, or maybe it's just exempt for some other reason, then these are the structural choices we're going to look at. We're going to look at a nonprofit corporation, or a single-member limited liability company, or potentially an exempt limited liability company. Not as big of an issue when you're talking about building out your own structure, because that requires at least two charitable partners, but you could have an exempt LLC, particularly if you have a more complex structure and you're bringing two of them together to have an exempt LLC. Within the area of the nonprofit corporation, we're going to be looking, because it's an exempt activity, and I'm assuming in this example that exempt means charitable, religious, educational, etc., we're going to be looking at, do we want to use a 509A1 or A2 publicly supported public charity? Typically not going to use an institutional public charity like a school or a hospital or a church, or a 509A3 supporting organization. So let's assume you have an affiliated foundation. You want to spin that off. You're going to use this type of structure. You're going to use typically in an affiliated foundation a 509A3 type 1 supporting organization. If you are expanding activities and you want it to be affiliated with you, but you don't want to have it be a supporting organization, you might choose a 509A1, or if it's selling things, a 509A2. So these are our options: corporation, LLC. Those are the primary two options. And within the corporate structure, you have the tax classifications. I don't know if y'all's practices are like mine, but sometimes I'll get calls I got a call a couple of weeks ago, and the person said, should we be a charitable trust or should we be a private foundation? And you sit there and you scratch your head and you say, well, you're talking about an apple and an orange. Those things both describe different you know, a charitable trust is a legal type and a private foundation is a tax type. So we want to think about here the legal type, nonprofit corporation or single member LLC. Now, once we've made the decision we want to use a nonprofit corporation, then we turn to, well, what tax status do we want to have for our tax-exempt nonprofit corporation? And again, you've got the standalone 501c3 that's a publicly supported public charity, either donative under 509a1 or by gross receipts under 509a2, or you could have a supporting organization under 509a3. Now, supporting organizations have lots of requirements. For example, they have to satisfy an organizational test. The organizational documents have to name by specific name or class who the supported organization is. If they're a type 3, they have to name them. They can't specify by class. They have to meet an operational test. They have to support the supported organization or provide services to the beneficiaries of the supported organization or support other supporting organizations who support the supported organization. They can't be controlled by disqualified persons, and they have to satisfy certain relationships to show that they're operated, supervised, or controlled by or in connection with the supported organization. So there's these extra tests you have to use.